Good morning. Buen día. Okay, I'm from Argentina, so my first language is Spanish. So if I say some things you don't understand, it may be because I'm defaulting to Spanish. So I apologize for that ahead of time. But Chuck asked me to share with you today, and it's a privilege to be here. I grew up, my parents are missionaries in Argentina, and they were there serving for about 40 years. And the Lord used them greatly to start several churches and a youth camp and Bible Institute. So every year we had youth conferences and youth retreats, and we had churches from other areas come to our church for youth conference, similar to here. And we look forward to it. It was a highlight of the year. I love it. So I hope, how many of you, this is your first time here? Okay, quite a few of you. Amazing. How many of you, I know Julie has been here for quite a few years. It's your second or more, I guess the rest of you. Dumb question. I hope this is a blessing for you, especially the you guys that are here for the first time. So what is the theme of the conference, the retreat? Does anybody know? Great is thy faithfulness. That's great. And I love the song that we just sang. The goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. If you have your Bibles, I would like you to open it to Joshua chapter 1. I'll be reading in Spanish. No, I'm kidding. How many of you have never heard the story of Joshua or Moses? I guess everybody's familiar with it. That helps me a lot. So that's great. So right now, the start of the book of Joshua, we're going to pray and then we'll read a few verses. Dear Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for all these kids that are here, Lord, and the blessing to hear them worship you and sing to you, Lord. I ask you that you would speak to us. You know each one of our needs, our fears, our need to know of your great faithfulness in our lives. So fill me with your Holy Spirit and speak to each one of us today, Lord. And I ask you these things in your name. Amen. As I was thinking of what to share on, I believe the Lord put in my heart Joshua, the book of Joshua, but especially chapter 1. So as we come to this book, you know, there's a transition. It starts in verse 1 and mentions the death of Moses. So Moses was a leader that God used to take the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And for 40 years, he led the nation through the desert. But he wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, and God raised up Joshua. But Moses was an amazing leader, a great leader. But if you know his life story, his first 40 years, especially at the end of his 40 years, he thought he was something. He thought God had called him to rescue the nation of Israel. So God had to humble him. And for the next 40 years, he was in the desert guiding and leading sheep and realizing that he was nobody. And that God called him after that. And for the following 40 years, he led the nation of Israel like sheep in the desert. And God showed that he can use a nobody. But he needed to be humbled. And some of us need that in our lives. Some of us, when I was your age, even though I hadn't done anything, just naturally being from Argentina, we are known in Argentina for being very proud. If you are from Latin America, you know that the country where people are known for being proud is Argentina. And most other countries hate the Argentines because they are so proud. So if you're not from Latin America, you don't know that. But I think that's just a human nature thing, but maybe the Argentines are known for being very proud for that. So there's a joke in Spanish in Latin America that pride is the little Argentine we all have inside. You get the joke? Orgullo es el pequeño argentino que todos tenemos adentro. That's how it is in Spanish. So God had to humble Moses. He had to humble the nation of Israel. And there's a period of transition here where the nation of Israel is going to go into the promised land that God had promised to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to Israel that they would go into this promised land. And they come to that point. But now there's a transition. Moses is dead, and Joshua is going to be the leader. And by what we see in the first verses here in chapter 1, Joshua is very, very nervous. I'm sure he's feeling very inadequate because he's following in the footsteps of Moses, probably the leader that he, I can't think of a better word, but idolized, that he admired. He was his mentor. He learned under him. So he feels inadequate with what he's called to do, what God is putting him in charge of doing. And God, in chapter 1, will tell him several things that Joshua needs to hear because of his struggles. He is probably very anxious. He knows the nation of Israel. They are known for complaining, for murmuring. God wanted to get rid of them several times. Moses intervened, and now Joshua's in charge of this nation. So I'm sure he doesn't want that responsibility, but God is giving it to him. But through this chapter and through this book, we're going to see the faithfulness of God. And I want us to learn from things that we see in Joshua's life, how that can apply to our lives, because we need to know more about the greatness of God, the faithfulness of God, especially in the world that we live in. We are in a world that is filled with uncertainty, anxiety, fears, and trials, and we need something or someone that's reliable, trustworthy. Do you know what faithfulness means? Or that God is faithful? Let's see, do you know the opposite of what faithfulness is? Can somebody say it? It's obvious. Unfaithfulness, right? How about a trustworthy? Untrustworthy. How about of something that's certain? Uncertain. How about a reliable? Unreliable. Well, that's all we find in the world, but in God, we find that He is trustworthy, He is reliable, He is certain, and that we can put our trust in Him, and we can have peace. And in Joshua chapter 1, we see that God is speaking to Joshua because he has these fears. Let's read from verse 1. It says, "Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot steps, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness to the Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun will be your territory. No one will be able to oppose you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not desert you, nor abandon you.'" Now, this is a tremendous promise from God to Joshua, and I believe that Joshua needed to hear this. "Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you." But I'm sure Joshua has a lot of doubts. How's this going to happen? We're going to cross the River Jordan. How's that going to happen? There's nothing in this passage that he's answering that. He's just telling him that he should do this. But he's promising one thing that we all need to know in our personal life is that I will be with you like I was with Moses. And we have that promise in the New Testament. Jesus says, "I will be with you always." And then he continues telling Joshua, and three times he repeats this. So I believe because he's repeating it three times that Joshua really needed to hear it. He says, be strong and courageous. And he's going to repeat it three times. And in verse 9, he'll say, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified or dismayed. So I think Joshua is feeling that way. He's feeling terrified. Very nervous. Sort of like how I feel or Julia felt. I am a shy person. When God called me to be a pastor, I felt so inadequate, and I am inadequate. And I'm like, why is God calling me to this? I don't feel comfortable speaking in public. I'd rather be quiet, alone, somewhere else. But God called me to this. And I have to be courageous and strong and be obedient to God's calling in my life. And Joshua, I believe he's full of fear, and he needs to hear these words from God. So God tells him, be courageous, be strong. He tells him, I'm going to be with you like I was with Moses. And then he tells him what he needs to do. Verse 7, 8, he says, only be strong and very courageous again. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may achieve success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will achieve success. Now, if I'm Joshua, and I'm hearing this from God, and he's telling me that I have to lead a nation, if I just have to lead 50 people, I'd be very scared. But I have to lead a nation. It's on this is what you have to do, Joshua. You have to be strong and courageous. And you have to meditate in my word and the law of Moses day and night and obey it. Wait. But I have a lot of questions. What I do in this circumstance, or how am I going to lead the nation? This is what you need to do. If you do this, everything else, you will prosper. You'll have success. Now, I ask you a question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if Joshua would obey and meditate on the word of God day and night, he would have success leading the nation of Israel? Come on. You can answer. I'm going to wait a long time if you don't answer. No. Yes? You really, really believe that? So, this scripture is not just for Joshua. It's for us too. And we have other passages in the Bible, like Psalm chapter 1, that if we want success and blessing and the things that are important in life, we need to meditate in his word day and night. Why don't we do it? Right? If we believe that what we have to do is know the word of God and meditate on it day and night and obey it, and we will have success. Don't we want success? Don't we want blessing? Well, the same instruction to Joshua is the instruction to us. Many of you, unfortunately, don't even have Bibles here. That is so sad because of how important this book is. This is God's word. And there is nothing else more important in life. And we should treasure it, meditate in it, and God will bless. And we'll have success. But God is telling this to Joshua, and if I'm Joshua, I'm like, no, I need a lot of other things here. I need a lot of clarity. But he says, if you do this, you will have success in everything you do. And again, verse 9, have I not commanded you? be strong and courageous. Now, we deal with a lot of anxiety in this culture, but not just in this culture. I grew up with a lot of anxiety, and I've been very nervous, and I used to wake up at 3 a.m., 2 a.m., not because I was very spiritual, because I was very anxious. But that would lead me to pray or to seek God or to ask God for help. It's nothing new because Scripture is full of passages that talk about do not fear, about trusting God. So what Joshua needed for his anxiety and for his fear leading the nation was the Word of God. Because we know that the Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And trusting in God that will release us from anxiety and fear comes through the Word of God. And God is telling Joshua, you need to meditate in my Word day and night. And we have a greater blessing than Joshua. When God is telling Joshua to meditate, he's telling him to meditate on what? The law. Because he didn't have Proverbs, Proverbs of the day that you can read, or the Psalms. I love the Psalms. He didn't have the New Testament. Those are more enjoyable passages for me to read. But when I go to the Leviticus, being completely honest, those are not passages that I enjoy as much. I would have a hard time meditating in that day and night. But that's what God is telling him to do. From Genesis to Deuteronomy, that was all that he had that was written. It was written by Moses. And that God is telling Joshua now, if you meditate on this word day and night, I will bless you. So he's telling him, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. And how can you be strong and courageous? By gaining, obviously, faith that comes through the Word of God, by meditating on His Word day and night. And if you do that, everything will go well. And God is acknowledging that Joshua is afraid. I love verse 9. I already read it, but it says, don't be frightened. Don't be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, what made Moses a great leader? God, I'll give you the answer. What made Joshua a great leader? God, there you go, you're catching on. What will make you a great leader or a great servant or a very blessed person? God. Now, they made much of God. They spent time with God, Moses and Joshua. Joshua, when Moses was serving and being the leader of the nation of Israel, Joshua was learning with him, and he was being mentored by him. And what happened to the nation of Israel? Because they were freed from Egypt through God's power and God's hand with the plagues that he gave on Egypt, and then they crossed through dry land, through the Red Sea, and God's provision and power day after day. And when God told him to go to the land, Moses sent 12 spies, and 10 of them came back and said, no, there are giants of the land. We can't do it. And the whole nation, those that were 20 and older, they didn't trust God because they were full of fear instead of trusting in God's promises and God's faithfulness. And what happened to them? They died in the desert. So most of you would be fine because you're under 20. The ones that are older, over 20, you would have been dead. Unless you were Joshua or Caleb. But most of you would be very fine. That's a relief, isn't it? So you would be making it into the promised land with Joshua. Joshua, Moses, when he led the people out of Egypt, he was 80 years old. Joshua, when he leads the people into the promised land, he's 80 years old. Because when he goes as a spy, he's 40 years old. And then there are 40 years in the desert. So he's around 80 years old now when he's leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. So fear and anxiety are not just something that you experience when you're young or a teenager. He's 80 years old and he's experiencing this because of what he has before him. But God tells him to meditate in God's word day and night. So what part of the law did he meditate on? All of it, obviously, because God told him to meditate on all the law of God. But I want to mention a few passages which I think he probably was reading, and he repeated and repeated. It says that it should be in his mouth, on his lips. And that instruction is a repetition of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God tells the nation of Israel that they should love him, and that these words that they hear, they should repeat it to their children. They should have it on their doorposts when they get up, when they're on the road, when they go to sleep. They should always have the word of God present. So I think Joshua is considering Exodus 34:6, where God reveals himself to Moses and he tells him that he is a God that is long-suffering and he has loving kindness and that he is faithful. Or Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. I had it right here, and it says, "Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments." Or Deuteronomy 7, verse 17. "If you say in your heart," listen to this, "these nations are greater than I, how can I dispose of them?" Because they're going into the promised land. And why didn't they want to go into the promised land before? Because there were giants there. And they weren't exaggerating. The nations that they had to remove from the promised land were greater than them. And God tells them in Deuteronomy, before they go into the promised land, verse 18, "You should not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm. That's my Spanish English. Maybe. I struggle in Spanish too, so I'm just using that as an excuse. But which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. God acknowledges that they are afraid and that they were going to be afraid when they're going into the promised land because of the enemies. But he tells them and instructs them. And I think Joshua, when he's meditating on God's word day and night, these are some of the scriptures that are coming to his mind. Verse 21 of Deuteronomy 7, "You shall not be terrified of them. For the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you." God wants them to remember his power and his faithfulness and what he did with them. And this is so important for us to realize, because we forget so quickly. When I was thinking of this a few days ago, I went to my journal. And I just started going through the pages, going back, what God has spoken to me. And I couldn't believe some of the promises and some of the thoughts that God had spoken to me and how quickly I forgot those. Now, some of it is because of my age. I understand that. But it's because we fill our minds with so many things. His past faithfulness, the victory should give you trust and strength for future battles. So God wants him to meditate on this word, to remember all the battles that they won and everything that God did for them, because it's going to strengthen them for what they have before them. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." Verse 2, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." So we have this repetition of remembering God's faithfulness. God wanted them to remember that. Now, it's sort of funny to me that God tells them the land that I'm going to give you. Because you know the story, right? What do they have to do when they go in to the land? Well, part of it is miraculous, obviously. They go in through the River Jordan on dry land. And that is something God did. It was amazing that when God did it, the nation of Israel then respected Joshua like they respected Moses because of what God did. But after that, well, then we have another miracle, right, with the walls of Jericho. Okay, let's after that, but they have to fight. They have to fight. They have to possess the land. And God is saying, I'm giving it to you, but you got to be obedient. You got to fight. And that is the principle of the Christian life. There is the divine operation of God, and then there's a human cooperation. We have to obey God's instruction. And we have that throughout the New Testament. In Ephesians 4, it's talking that we should live according to everything that God has done for us, and that we should put to death all these vices and take upon ourselves, clothe ourselves with all these virtues. Or 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about that everything that we need for godliness has been given to us. But then Peter adds, so therefore, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue self-control, and to self-control love, fraternal love, and then love. And there's a lot of things that we need to do to possess or to live this abundant life that God has given to us, just like the nation of Israel had to do with the promised land. They were going, it was theirs, but they had to be obedient to what God had for them. And I want to give you an illustration, because it's very hard for me to understand for many years. Well, wait. Is it God doing it, or do I have to do it? Because we struggle with that, or at least I did. So this is what helped me. One of the examples. It's sort of like our bodies. We didn't do anything to come to this earth. This was something that God did through our parents, and everything that we had in our bodies, the muscles, they're all there. But if we don't exercise, then they become what? Atrophy, right? Or we have everything in our body to grow, but if we don't eat, then we're not going to grow. So that's the Christian life, and that's the principle that we're seeing in Joshua. They're going to have to go in and possess the land, and they're going to have to be obedient with their responsibility. But God is going to give them the land. And it's the same thing in our Christian walk. So they cross the River Jordan. I thought I was going to say it wrong. The Red Sea. The River Jordan. Like in dry land. And this is such a testimony for the nation of Israel. And what does Joshua do? He asked them to take out 12 stones and set them apart as a memorial, so they would remember God's power and faithfulness. Because not just me, but it seems that they too would forget. And they wouldn't remember God's faithfulness. So that would serve is, okay, what are those stones there? When the children would ask them, the next generation, that's there because God did this miraculous thing when he gave us land. And we see that throughout Scripture. God wants us to remember his faithfulness and his power. We see something very similar in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Samuel is with the nation of Israel. They're repenting of their sin. He's going to offer a sacrifice, and the Philistines see them, that they're all there united, and they're going to attack them. They're going to surprise them, so they're scared. They cry out to Samuel. Samuel calls out to the Lord, and the Lord defends them and protects them. So Samuel, what does he do? He grabs his big stone, and he sets it there, and he gives the stone a name. Does anybody know what the name of the stone is? Ebenezer. Ebenezer, thank you. And what does it mean? Does anybody remember that? Stone of help. It's like, to this point, God has helped us. And Samuel wanted them to remember God's faithfulness. And that is important that we remember. Deuteronomy repeats it several times. Remember God's faithfulness. Remember God's faithfulness. We forget so easily when God speaks to us. Great truths. And it's like a seed that's sown in our heart. But what happens, like Matthew 13:22 says, the care of this world, that word in the Greek, merimna, is it pulls us in different directions, distractions, anxiety, you can translate it. And then the seed doesn't bear fruit. So we need to pause when God speaks to us. We need to take time and let that seed bear fruit. We need to remove the distractions. Distractions. I was just checking to see if you're awake. You weren't awake. You need to remove the clutter from your heart. And they mentioned, obviously, turn your phones off or don't use them unless you need them, social media, because that creates so much clutter and so many distractions that we forget what God has taught us. And that's what happens to me. I usually tell my daughters, like, when they were growing up, when they were younger, I don't tell them anymore, for a couple reasons. One, because they're older. But I used to tell them, no, get off your phone, and I'm on my phone. So that was the other reason, because they would say, but you get off your phone too. No, just kidding. They would say that. But anyway, we need to get off our phones. We need to spend time with God. And we need to allow His Word, the seed that is sown in our hearts, to grow, to bear fruit. And through remembering His promises and His faithfulness, it strengthens us for what's before us. I'm not sure how many of you heard of Hudson Taylor, probably the majority of you. He was a missionary in the 1800s to the 1900s. He served in China for 51 years. There were about 840 missionaries that came to the mission field of China through his work and faithfulness. Over 35 people became Christians through his ministry. He baptized over 50,000. Did I say 35 or 35,000? 35? That's why you weren't impressed. It was 35,000, sorry. Okay, that's better. 35,000. And everything, he raised $4 million in those days. That's a lot of money. Nowadays it's a lot, but back then it was a lot more, by faith, because he was following George Mueller's example. But in his home, he had these two words, and I guess he had them there because he needed them often. One was Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. And the other was Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. One was for him to remember that God was faithful in the past and he has provided to this point. And the other one was to strengthen, to put his hope in God, that God is going to provide. And I know the context of where it happens in Genesis 22, but God is our provider. And these verses strengthen Hudson Taylor's life. And he had him there to remember God's faithfulness. I used to work in construction. I still do, but very little. But I used to work in construction, and I was doing a project. And it was in January when things are slower, and it was a big project. And beginning of January, I find out that the client doesn't have any money and can't pay until March. And I have guys I have to pay, materials I have to pay, and I am like so anxious. I don't know what to do. And I'm one of the mornings that I wake up early because I'm anxious. And I'm sitting there reading the Word. And we have these verses on the wall. And I never noticed it before. My wife put it there. And it's Psalm 23:1. And it's written right there. And I couldn't believe I never noticed it before. It was right by the door. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And the peace that I experienced in that moment through that verse, I'm like, God, I'm trusting you. You're going to have to provide because I don't know what to do. And God provided. And God was faithful. But I needed his word to bring peace. And God obviously spoke to me through that moment. I felt so foolish because it wasn't the first and last time that that happened either. But I've been anxious, concerned about God's provision, what God has supplied. In Joshua, we see he's spending time with God because he's meditating on his word day and night. He has to go, and they cross over the River Jordan. Now they're before Jericho, this huge city with its four or five walls. And he's walking around in chapter 5 alone. And he's probably considering, how are we going to conquer this city? And this person shows up, and it's the Lord. And he speaks to them. And when Joshua realizes who it is, he worships, and then the Lord reveals to him what they have to do. And public victories come through private battles. When we spend time with God alone, he has promised, we have this in the Sermon on the Mount, that he will reward us in public. And when a lot of the failures that we have is because we don't spend time with God in prayer. We should learn from Joshua that he made his mistakes, but in this occasion, he is seeking God and he's spending time alone and he's meditating, and God shows up and reveals to him, this is what you have to do, Joshua. And it's going to be miraculous, but then you have to go in and kill the people, and they do it and they conquer the city. In chapter 9, unfortunately, because he doesn't seek God's counsel, they make a mistake. And there's a failure of the nation of Israel there. And it's because they're not seeking God's guidance. So I encourage you, obviously, learn from what Joshua did right and from what Joshua did wrong. And seek God's guidance. And spend time with God. Seek his leading. And you obviously will learn more and more of God's faithfulness. Another thing that Joshua had to learn, and sorry, this is probably not in the right order, but he knew God was faithful to Moses. And he could probably sing what we're singing, that God is faithful. But it's very different when it's a personal experience. And we need to have those personal experiences with God where we see God's faithfulness in our own lives. And that strengthens our faith. Because we can say, yeah, the Word of God says it, and I see it in others. But when we experience it, when we're spending time with God, and God is answering that, that strengthens our faith. And the text is Lamentations 3:23, 22 and 23. Where it says, the greatest of faithfulness. It says that your mercies are new every morning. And we need those mercies to be new every morning. Because every morning, we are faced with new things or new trials that can produce anxiety or fear or a lack of trust. C.H. McIntosh says, 10,000 mercies are forgotten in the presence of a single trivial moment. And we can... God can be faithful for 10,000 days, and then there's one day we have a trial, we're like, where are you, God? We get desperate. So we need to remember, we need to go back. Do you know how many promises there are in the Bible from God to us, to men? You probably don't. I was counting them last night, and that's why I'm so tired. No, I wasn't. But it's over 7,400 promises in the Bible. Do you think that's enough? Or I think that's enough. That should be sufficient for us, right? 7,400 promises from God to man, and so many about him being faithful to us, that should strengthen our faith. That we should remember how he's been faithful. We should go to his word and go to our past, and we should have in our journals those moments that God has spoken to us and that he's been faithful to us, because we need it. And if Joshua had amazing promises, we have even greater promises. It says that we have great and precious promises. Jesus tells his disciples, and that's for us, we're his disciples. He says, "All power is given to me, therefore go, and I will be with you always." So he has promised his presence to us. He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us. He's always going to be with us. He says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Nothing. It goes through the list in Romans chapter 8. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And Joshua, at the end of his life, after they have possessed the whole land, there's these verses that are amazing in chapter 23 that talk about the faithfulness of God. Verse 12, it says, "And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." That's amazing. We have that repeated in 1 Kings chapter 8 as well. God was faithful. Every single promise and every single word he gave to them. And that's true for us too. If we record his faithfulness and then we look back, we should be able to say the same things. And I've been a Christian for many, 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 many years, over 48 years. And I can tell you that God has been faithful all my life. That's what the song says, right? All my life you have been faithful. I'm not going to continue singing or you'll run out. But I wish that each one of you would learn to trust God to that point where when these trials comes or these fears, we go back like Joshua and we start meditating the Word of God, and we remember God's faithfulness, and we have those stones, those memorials, those moments that we can say, "God, those Ebenezers, to this point you have been faithful." And then with confidence we can look forward and say, "God will provide." And that you live a life that's devoted to God. That you put his kingdom first above everything else. Another missionary, C.T. Studd, who was a missionary in China and India and Africa in the 1800s and early 1900s, around the same time as Hudson Taylor. And what's amazing about that is they traveled by boat in those times, and you have to travel to all these continents. But we complain about a 14-hour flight. There were days and days and days on boats. But anyway, this is one of the quotes that I want to mention to you. He says, only one life till soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Now, whatever the calling is on your life that God has for you, whatever it is, put God first. Just like with Joshua leading the nation of Israel, obey those instructions to do according to the law of God, to meditate on his word day and night. And you will live for Christ if you live that way. And give your life to him. He will do much more with your life than you can. I forget who said that. It wasn't me, but I think it was D.L. Moody, but I'm not sure. But I encourage you to follow wholeheartedly after God. That he be your love and your passion. and that you will be able to say with Joshua, as he said to the nation of Israel, not one word that God has promised has failed. That you will be able to trust God and declare with Jeremiah, great is his faithfulness. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Joshua, for his life, and for the example that he is to us, Lord. I ask you to bless once again each one of these kids, Lord, and their lives and what they're going through. And that they would be able to focus on you and not other problems. That they would be able to see you in your greatness and trust you. And Lord, that we would be a light in this world, a testimony of your faithfulness to this world, Lord, so that they would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.